and welcome to the Human Condition Podcast on Resilience Radio. I'm Lee Hatcher, in conversation with Ruth Fordyce, psychologist at the Resilience Centre, on resilient mums. And the compelling thing about this conversation is that Ruth approaches this from two perspectives. She's an expert. She knows all the theory. But this is also a personal story.
So it started for me when I became a mum, which was 5.5 years ago. So I'd been a psychologist for a few years before that and had worked a lot with people with anxiety and depression. I'd worked a lot with Lynn Worsley, our director at the practice, who's an expert in the area of resilience. So I knew a lot about resilience.
And a lot about the theory.
Yes, that's right.
Welcome to the real world.
That's right. And it was a massive change for me to become a parent. But also the really significant thing that happened for me was a loss in my life when I was 7 months pregnant. My father actually died, and completely unexpectedly.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was a huge shock, and obviously to work through that grief,
yes.
And then 2 months later, welcome my first child into the world. There was so much to deal with and to work through.
So it's massive grief. Massive adjustment too.
Yeah.
How did that play out for you?
Yeah. So what it meant was that I needed to give myself some space and time to think about my dad and to let those feelings surface.
Yes.
But I needed a lot of people around me. So I needed to really draw on my support networks. Obviously, my family, you know, rallied together at that time, other loved ones and support people that I had in my life. But I needed to be mindful of how to do that in very practical ways. So I can remember when my husband had some time off and we spent a lot of time together getting to know our new baby. But when he went back to work, I remember thinking, okay, I need to make a plan. And I think for the first couple of weeks when it was just me and my little girl, I had something on every day.
Okay.
Someone coming to see me, or I came into work to see my colleagues, or just something on that I knew I needed to do and connecting me with people.
So you were applying the theory to your
yes,
own life.
Yes, absolutely. So I had learnt this model called the Resilience Donut from Lynn Worsley, and it was all about making sure that we have strong connections around us so that even if we're not feeling resilient at that moment on the inside, we're doing resilient behaviours.
Yes.
We're putting in action the things that we need to help us keep going, to help us feel supported, to help us feel connected. And then the feelings came along a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, the feelings of starting to be able to feel like I was enjoying being a parent, that I was developing some confidence in what I was doing.
But it began to really drive a passion in
yes.
you as a psychologist.
Yes.
So beyond the theory, because not everyone has that theory as a base from which to move, what are some of the common issues that a new mum will be going through?
Yes. No, I'm glad you asked that, because obviously not everyone has my story.
No, that's right.
And you know, amazingly, a lot of people do, that they have to navigate really difficult other life issues
yes.
whilst they're transitioning to becoming a parent. But for some people, it will look quite different. So a lot of the women that come to see me, sometimes there's been a previous history of anxiety or depression in their life. So they're wanting to make sure that as they become a mum, that they've got good support in place to
yes.
protect their mental health. But for a lot of other women, it comes up for the very first time after they've had a baby, that they might be feeling quite isolated if all of their relationships, say, were connected through their workplace, that suddenly they're very lonely.
That's been their identity.
That's right.
In work.
Yeah, and it might be their main source of support as well. So suddenly they're
yes.
finding they're very lonely at home. For other women, it can be that they have new worries or concerns that are suddenly coming up because they've now got a child. They're finding themselves anxious and they're needing some help just working out, are those worries legitimate?
Yes.
Or am I actually, you know, imagining things that might not be real, and getting some help with how to deal with those worries? And for other women, one of the issues that can come up is if they haven't felt a good sense of connection with their own mother. So they've got to learn what it is to be the kind of mum they want to be.
So it's going to be very influential on many mums what their mum was like.
That's right.
Good or bad.
Absolutely. So some women have their mum still around. They have a really positive relationship with their mum.
Yes.
They might actually have mum dropping in, helping them with their baby. And also, Lee, giving them really lovely feedback.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Yes.
Oh, look at your baby smiling at you. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
You know, you're a great mum. For other women, it's the opposite. Their mum might have died when they were young, or they might not have had a good relationship with their mum. And so they don't have that sort of pool of positive memories to draw on.
Yes.
Some women end up realising that they only know what they don't want to do as a mum.
Yeah.
They don't want to be angry, or they don't want to be anxious like their mum was, or they don't want certain things to happen. But we can end up really parenting out of fear when we've got that sort of mindset. So I love to try and help women, you know, build their positive sense of identity of what kind of mum do you want to be and what can you draw on to help guide that.
And what can they draw on if they haven't got that to draw on?
Yeah. If they're not looking at their own mum,
yes.
It might be sometimes looking at other women they have had in their life or building those new connections. So finding places where they can draw on role models. And if it's not older women in their life, then sometimes it's about building a really good community of other mums. So for those women, often joining a mother's group or a play group, something like that becomes really important so that they have a space where they can share honestly the things they're finding hard and get some inspiration as they watch other people doing the motherhood journey to start to formulate, okay, what are my values as a mum? Do I want to have fun with my kids? Do I want to make sure I'm a safe place for my kids to share their feelings? You know, those sorts of things that can help then guide them. What kind of mum do I want to be?
Yeah. How significant is this issue, Ruth, that many women are waiting longer and longer to even marry and then have kids well into their 30s, sometimes their 40s.
Mm.
And they could have had a couple of decades in the workforce and that being their identity before they've had kids.
Yeah.
Big adjustment.
It is. I think it's actually a very big issue, Lee, and in a number of ways. So I think firstly, as I was saying before, for some people, all of their relationships of significance might be tied up in their work. And so making that change to being predominantly at home with a baby can feel quite lonely.
Yes.
But secondly, I think you're right, that sense of identity that comes from working, it's a very different kind of identity. For some people, you know, when you tell people what you do, there might be a sense of pride associated with that. And also the sense of achievement that we get from work. We often get very concrete feedback about whether we're doing a good job. You know, and particularly a lot of women who end up with postnatal depression, one of the features will be having a bit of a perfectionistic trait.
Yes.
So someone who really aspires to high standards, who pushes themselves to do really well. Often perfectionistic people are quite successful. They'll often be doing well in their jobs because they're pushing themselves hard. But they might have been getting a lot of positive feedback that people appreciate the work they do. They're getting some success. They're getting some good runs on the board in their career. And then the challenge of having a baby, there's no job description. There's no one standing next to you telling you whether you've done it right or not. And often the only feedback you're getting is a little person who's crying, you know, and maybe not sleeping that well or not feeding that well. And so that can be really confusing and distressing for a lot of women to think, hang on a minute, I'm a successful person. You know, I was running a business or I was, you know, dealing with these clients who, you know, gave me a lot of money to do this work that I was doing. And now I've got this little person. I don't know what I'm doing.
And Dad comes home and says, what's for dinner?
Yeah, that's right. And I haven't thought about dinner. I'm just trying to get this little person to sleep.
Yeah. You mentioned depression a couple of times, postnatal depression.
Yeah.
How is a woman going to know that that is an emerging reality for them and what's the way forward?
Yeah, it's quite a tricky one, Lee, because most women will know and will be given this advice by their medical practitioners that it's quite normal to feel some blues after you have a baby, that your hormones will be all over the place and that it's quite normal to have a bit of trouble adjusting. And I think too, people get told, well, you know, if you're sleep deprived, you know, you will feel low. And most of us don't know what that feels like until we're there. You know, you think you know tiredness, but until you've been up all night with a child, it's hard to imagine just how tired you can be.
Torture.
So I often, well, I always will recommend that if a woman has any concerns, to go and see her GP as a first port of call. Yes. And they have a questionnaire that they can take the woman through to help her identify, are her symptoms actually severe enough that we would call it postnatal depression. Yeah. So generally what we're looking at is the severity of symptoms. So if someone is really feeling very down and very low, but also the duration of those symptoms, how long has that been going for? So someone who might feel a little bit low in the first couple of weeks after having a baby is a bit different to someone who's still finding perhaps a couple of months down the track that I still can't shake this really low feeling. But I think if anyone ever has any concerns, it's always best to go and get it checked out. Talk to a GP who you trust, and they can help advise you.
You're listening to the Human Condition Podcast and psychologist Ruth Fordyce on resilient mums. So what advice and expertise does Ruth have to offer mums as a therapist?
So definitely, as we talked about before, helping them build a sense of their identity as a mum. What are their values, the kind of mum that they want to be? And giving them some feedback about how they're doing that well. I love in sessions spending time talking with mums about what they're doing well, because often they don't get a chance to reflect on that and to see all of that effort that is going to pay off with their child.
Right.
Talking about support networks is really important. So identifying who are those people that are cheering them on, who are those people that they can share their struggles with honestly. There are times when I've had mums say to me they went along to a mother's group and they didn't quite feel safe there. And so I will talk with them about, okay, that wasn't the group for you, but that doesn't mean you should give up.
Yes.
You know, keep looking and find the people where you do feel a good fit and where you can be honest and real about what's going on. And the other thing that I'll often do a lot with mums is we just talk about some of the thoughts they might find are going through their head. That might be anxious thoughts. It might be thoughts that they don't feel they're doing a good enough job. Just other struggles they might be having in their mind. And so we look at unpacking those thoughts and finding more positive ways to be able to talk to themselves.
Because there's often a lot of time available to have those thoughts.
Absolutely.
And it's just the child with
you. Right. Yeah. That's right. So a lot of women find that a little bit of a shock, that where they might have found at work or the other things they were doing, you know, study, that their mind is occupied and busy.
Yes.
So they're distracted, and they're getting a lot of positive feedback. So their mind might be full of really positive thoughts about themselves. So we need to learn ways when those more negative sort of thoughts come up. How do I actually deal with that, and what are some alternatives? How do I speak to myself with a bit more compassion?
Yeah.
How do I be encouraging to myself in this hard job that I'm learning? And sometimes that's even learning just to give ourselves a little bit more time. Some mums feel this pressure. They've got to know straight away. They've got to have that mother's intuition about what my baby needs and whether I'm doing the right thing or not. And that takes a long time to develop.
This is a huge adjustment. Yes.
Lee's smiling and nodding at me because he's a father and he understands.
Of four. I've learned a few things. And speaking of which, it takes two to tango with having a kid.
Mm.
So what's the advice for blokes who might not come to see you, but how can they be of help?
How do they support their partner? Open communication is really helpful. So just keeping the conversation going about how it's going. Obviously, lots of dads are taking time off now, which is wonderful to have some time off if you can from work to spend that time getting to know your baby. I also think just having dads being mindful of parts of the routine that they can be involved in. I think it can be really helpful for couples to talk about that transition time. If mum's at home with the baby and dad is at work, of what makes a good transition time when he comes home? Just thinking about what's helpful.
Can you give practical examples of that?
Yeah. So I'm very lucky to have a husband who works in the coffee industry.
Mm.
We have a lovely coffee machine at home and he makes me a coffee when he comes home. And he says it's the best 5 minutes investment of his time he can make because it gives me that moment of being cared for if I've had a day at home with the kids.
Yeah. See, that's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it means a lot to me because if I've been giving and giving and giving, just having someone, you know, come in, how was your day? And, you know, of course, you know, our kids are 5 and 2, so it's a bit different. He's, you know, having a bit of an interaction with them as well. But to have that moment when I feel cared for, that he makes me a coffee and I can sit and have a couple of minutes to have that coffee, gives me a bit of pep in my step for the rest of the nightly routine. But, you know, for husbands to be able to talk to their partners about what they need, you know, sometimes they need a bit of time to, you know, decompress from the work day and then re-engage with the family. But for the mum to be able to feel that she can ask for that too, what does she need? It might be 5 minutes, but something that will show her that she's valuable. That's a real act of self-care.
But also to share the load.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's his child as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
for the benefit of that child.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's right. And that research shows us that dad's getting involved from an early age is really wonderful for children. For dads not to feel that, you know, they become important when they can do activities with the child, you know, the classic kicking a footy round or that sort of thing.
Yes.
Actually, it's really wonderful and important for dads to be involved in nurturing caregiving sort of activities. So I think a lot of dads now, I think, are realising that and getting involved in bathing their children, maybe dressing them for bedtime, reading stories, you know, all those sorts of things are absolutely wonderful. They're often really wonderful ways for dad to put aside the thoughts of work from the day, really engage with his family, and they can be those times when then mum can step out and have a few minutes to herself while
Absolutely.
He's doing one of those activities.
Dads step up. I'll tell you what, yesterday as a grandfather, I changed my first dirty nappy for about 28 years.
Wow, so, first dirty nappy after 28 years.
And I made it. Can well I ask done. You about self-care, Ruth?
Yes.
For a,
yes,
I just a resilient mum.
Yeah.
Take me through more of that.
Yeah.
Practical
so
stuff.
This is sort of a really popular idea now that's cropping up a lot, you know, on the internet. If you look at blogs and you listen to podcasts, I'm really pleased. I'm hearing a lot more women talking about this now, that it's really important for women and mothers to take care of themselves.
It's not selfish, is it?
No, it's actually really important because otherwise we can burn out.
Yes.
And then we've run out of steam. We're not able to care for people well that are in our care. But it also, really importantly, it models to people around us how we want them to treat us. So it's actually quite helpful to model to your children that you are not invincible, you're a human being, and you do things to fill up your own tank. You know, it shows your children that that's a normal part of life, that we all need to look after ourselves. So we try and eat well, get enough rest, but also just take those little moments when we need to calm down. Practical examples, that'd be helpful. So what I mean by this is that it's totally fine for a mum to feel that she just can step out for a moment if the stress levels are getting really high.
Okay.
So this can be, you know, from any age, from when you're dealing with a tiny baby that's crying to an older child that might be giving you difficult behaviour. You know, to recognise that if you are reaching, you know, your maximum stress levels, that sometimes the best thing you can do is just step out of the room for a moment. Take a couple of deep breaths.
I can feel it myself here.
Yeah. Just give yourself a moment and try and find a little bit of calm and then re-engage. Then step back in and pick up that baby again if they need more cuddling or come back to that child and say, okay, obviously a child that's older, you might need to alert them. You know, mummy's just going to go and take a couple of deep breaths, or I'm just going to go and get a glass of water because I need to calm down a bit. We're getting a bit stressed. It's a great thing to teach your child that you want to be calmer and you've got some ways to go and practice that. So yeah, a lot of mums, I think they hear self-care and they think, oh goodness, like, are you telling me I've got to go to a yoga class or go and get a massage, or, you know, I can't fit that in, I don't have time, you know. Those things are wonderful if you can do them, but sometimes we just need to look for where can we find 5 minutes or 10 minutes in the day or 30 seconds. And we can even weave them into everyday activities.
Yeah.
So, for example, I often recommend to mums if they're feeling a bit frazzled, you know, and you're getting in the car and you're going somewhere, just even literally taking 20 seconds as you sit in the driver's seat. Your kids are now strapped in safely. Just take a few seconds to take a couple of deep breaths. And that might be the moment as well where we want to use our positive self-talk.
Yeah.
So if we're feeling like, oh, my goodness, everything's out of control, just take a moment to breathe and say, it's going to be okay.
Yeah. I find, again, as a grandfather, I often do and I can drive slower with these guys in the back.
Yeah.
Because I can take time.
Mm.
And that's really quite helpful. for me, who's usually rushing around.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true. One of the best things we can do is just say to ourselves, slow down.
Yeah.
Just slow down. Because I have a dear friend who often says, you can't rush a toddler. It's a very good piece of advice, isn't it?
It
but
is.
Often when we feel frantic and we feel
like
things are running late or the day is getting out of hand, we try and rush things. It actually makes it worse for everybody.
Yes.
I think sometimes just taking that moment to breathe, slow down, and then let's try again. Let's approach it over again.
Ruth, I've thoroughly enjoyed our chat. I'm sure so many young mums and their dads should too as well. The world needs more resilient mums. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Human Condition Podcast. I'm Lee Hatcher. You'll be able to hear and see more from Ruth on the Resilience Centre website, www.theresiliencecentre.com.au.